From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. The British government has acted following a Tuesday midnight deadline for a Russian explanation for the poisoning of a former Russian double agent expired. Prime Minister Theresa May addressing Parliament said no defense was forthcoming over the attack against Sergei Skripal March 4th.
They have treated the use of a military-grade nerve agent in Europe with sarcasm, contempt, and defiance. So, Mr. Speaker, there is no alternative conclusion other than that the Russian state was culpable for the attempted murder of Mr. Skripal and his daughter, and for threatening the lives of other British citizens in Salisbury, including Detective Sergeant Nick Bailey.
The Prime Minister said this constitutes an unlawful use of force by the Russian state against the United Kingdom, requiring a response, including the expulsion of 23 Russians.
This will be the single biggest expulsion for over 30 years, and it reflects the fact that this is not the first time that the Russian state has acted against our country. Through these expulsions, we will fundamentally degrade Russian intelligence capability in the UK for years to come. And if they seek to rebuild it, we will prevent them from doing so.
The Kremlin has denied involvement in the case of Skripal and his daughter Yulia, both of whom remain in critical condition. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova called the British action an attack on Russia, promising a retaliation that will be both sufficient and corresponding. Two people were shot dead Wednesday in rioting in Conakry as authorities in Guinea clashed with anti-government protesters. The political opposition is demanding the publication of results from last month's elections. At the same time, the government of President Alpha Conde reached agreement with striking teachers that could end a month-long strike over higher wages. This is VOA News. In Syria, Turkish-backed forces shelled the Kurdish-held northwest town of Afrin Wednesday, killing at least seven people. The YPG Kurds are being targeted as a threat to Turkish security. In the eastern suburbs of Damascus, known as Eastern Ghouta, the Syrian Arab Red Crescent hopes to send in a humanitarian convoy Thursday to the rebel-held enclave, which has been under bombardment for weeks. As the conflict enters its eighth year in Syria, Jan Egeland, UN senior advisor and head of the Norwegian Refugee Council, said the violence must be brought to an end.
It's really not too late to have talks around Idlib, to have talks around Dara, and to have talks around Afrin, which is also a place where there is increased fighting, and the fighting is now closer and closer to the town of Afrin, to the town center of Afrin, where there is also a lot of civilians.
Eglin said a new notification system is being put in place to keep medical facilities from being attacked. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General John Nicholson, Wednesday said the capital, Kabul, is the main focus of an intensified U.S.-backed battle against the Taliban.
What we're seeing is a change in the tactics. Same number of attacks, but using more lethal and indiscriminate bombs when they do these attacks that are causing more CIVCAS.
Nicholson pointed to the rapid growth of the city, making it harder to secure. European Union leader Donald Tusk has called on President Donald Trump to maintain long-standing transatlantic relations that have been increasingly strained since the U.S. leader imposed stiff trade tariffs on imported steel and aluminum.
Mr. Trump has also said that real friends will be excluded from the proposed measures. I would like to stress today that the free world has survived the most difficult decades only thanks to the fact that Europeans and Americans have been real friends. So let us cherish this friendship.
Mr. Tusk said instead of risking a trade war, we should be aiming for greater cooperation. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, under fire for his aggressive anti-drug campaign, said his government is pulling out of the International Criminal Court, which has been investigating alleged crimes against humanity. Rights groups have said thousands have died, many of the result of extrajudicial killings in the war on drugs. In Bolivia, at least six inmates died, more than 20 others were wounded, while resisting a police search for firearms, alcohol, and drugs. At least six policemen were injured. A clash at the prison in 2013 left more than 30 dead. The interrupted peace talks between the Colombian government and National Liberation Army, or ELN, are set to resume Thursday in Quito, Ecuador. President Juan Manuel Santos suspended the talks in January, following rebel attacks on security forces. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.